For decades, the order of the presidential primaries and caucuses has caused consternation. Iowa and New Hampshire are two relatively small states and among the least diverse in the country. But those two have continued to be at the front of the calendar as candidates and hopefuls fight for their party's nomination. Nevada currently sits at number 3, with its caucus taking place 19 days after Iowa's and 11 days after New Hampshire's during the 2020 campaign. But the Nevada legislature is looking to change that and put its state at the head of the line for 2024. Dave Damore, political science professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, is with me to talk about the goals and the possibilities. Professor, what would be the measurable difference of having Nevada move its caucus or primary to first on the calendar ahead of Iowa or New Hampshire?
One of the concerns is the schedule as presently constructed doesn't really reflect the Democratic constituency, right? So Iowa and New Hampshire are not particularly urban states, and they're not particularly diverse states. And Nevada is the nice contrast to that, right? You have an urban, diverse state that is a swing state as well, that is increasingly moving to in favor of the Democrats. So I think all that stuff comes together to make Nevada a tempting offer. The other sort of variable that's in play in this is Nevada also has a strong union presence, particularly on the Las Vegas Strip. And again, that's something you don't have as a big constituency in either Iowa or New Hampshire.
So I want to ask you what you said, coming back to the initial thing about what is called diversity and the fact that Nevada has certainly more of a diverse group of voters than Iowa or New Hampshire, at least traditionally. And also Iowa is considered to be a pretty conservative state overall. New Hampshire, maybe a little bit more independent. Nevada, at least at this point, if we want to use the color scheme, certainly seems blue at this point. How do you think that would affect candidates running for office to have a state like that early on as opposed to Iowa or New Hampshire?
I think it would, you would, and this is one of the arguments you've heard the Democrats make, I think it would put different issues in the mix. We wouldn't be hearing about ethanol. We wouldn't be hearing about corn. We'd be hearing more about immigration. We'd be hearing more about healthcare. We'd be hearing more about climate change, issues that are much more salient in Nevada than you have in those other states. Obviously, economic polarization, those issues play here as well. So I think there's also an issue difference between the states that favors sort of where I think the Democrats are moving as a party.
And what do you think about just whatever state it would be? Obviously, we're focused on Nevada, but having a state in the West be early on.
It would sort of throw things off, right? Mm-hmm. One of the, you know, as I've been observing this, you know, really since 2008, when we got a lot of attention there, is you don't have the sort of pathways and the familiarity that you know the reporters and the candidates know in Iowa and New Hampshire. So there's definitely a learning curve. There's also a distance curve, right? If the degree that the political establishment is in the East Coast, the media, and obviously many of the candidates are there, they also, it's a little more difficult for them to get to Nevada, right? You can do a day trip to New Hampshire, even to Iowa. Here you're talking about probably a longer trip. The benefit, of course, is them. They're right next to California, so they can always get in some fundraising.
And campaigning in Nevada, we wouldn't get those great stories about the butter sculpture or even the trudging through ice. So
absolutely. It would be more going to see the Culinary Union, trying to find places where you actually get Nevadans and not tourists. So I think it's a little different. So there's an unfamiliarity that people would have to learn. But, you know, we've done this now. 2008, 12 obviously wasn't with Obama running. In 16 and 20. This would also, you know, would also affect the Republicans. It's also worth noting on this. They use a caucus here, but their caucus is non-binding. It's pretty much a beauty contest. So that would shift that as well.
Take us behind the curtain a little bit on this. So even if Nevada wants to move forward with this, and let's say that this does get traction legislatively, can it mean anything without national DNC support?
That's the rub. Is the DNC is the one that's going to sort of set the schedule. You know, when we got to moved up to be an early event, that was when Harry Reid, Senator Reid, was at the height of his power. We don't have a comparable figure there. And then, of course, you have the New Hampshire law that says that they're going to be a week in front of anybody else who has a similar type of nominating event. So, you know, is this just going to be a situation of one-upmanship, and all of a sudden we're at Thanksgiving doing this? The Nevada legislation, I think, says it basically puts at the end of January is the way that the bill's currently written. But who knows? It's going to be it'll at some point be amended after it gets heard. Does it get across the finish line? I'm a little more optimistic there, just because you have the governor backing it. You have the entire Democratic establishment backing it there. So I'm a little more optimistic than in 2015 when the Republicans were pushing this. This actually died on the assembly floor as the session ended.
You mentioned Senator Reid obviously was extremely powerful. Would it take a powerful force like that to make the change, as you mentioned, even with a unified front? The power of the party is getting more and more limited considering how many registered independents there are. So does a figure like Harry Reid need to be there, or are we seeing an evolution as far as how important the parties are?
That's a good point. And, you know, and the Nevada bill is written to be a closed primary, as it currently is, as opposed to New Hampshire, which is an open primary system. I think it does. But I mean, we have that union constituency, as I mentioned, that's an important one. You know, we have Cortez Masto ran the Senate campaign last time around. So she's moving up in leadership as well. So certainly not a figure like Harry Reid. But I think the Democrats are seeing what's happening in the Mountain West. You know, you've flipped Nevada's now four times in a row, Colorado four times in a row. You've now flipped Arizona. You've picked up, four Senate seats in those three states in the last two cycles. So I think that Democrats are seeing the future in the Mountain West here. So it would make perfect sense in terms of their ability to solidify Nevada, solidify Colorado, but also continue to make inroads in Arizona.
If, in fact, it were to change from a caucus to a primary on top of that, is there anything inherently with a primary that shows a little bit more firmness and actual direction, since caucuses seem to be so much about getting your groups together, convincing them, whereas a primary is much more closed in that sense? You're really casting a vote in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, they're essentially what people are used to, right? The caucus thing is odd. It can be an off-putting. And the Democrats have, particularly this time around, they made a number of changes to the process. They had to react quickly to the disaster that was Iowa. But they did things like early voting and some of the sort of things that Nevadans have come to expect when they participate here. But at the end of the day, it's a very, very different animal. And it's the outcome's not definitive, right? In the sense is that what happens on that first round of caucuses then is the first of a series of events here. And I don't think people understand that either. The other part is that, you know, the actual process itself is not run by government, right? It's run by essentially party activists who may be involved in the campaigns. So you have that part of it as well.
That is David DeMore. He's professor and chair of political science at UNLV. We've been talking about the possibility of Nevada moving up to the front of the presidential primary caucus field. Professor, thank you.
Thanks for having me.